What's up, my friend? Welcome to the Finding Direction podcast. My name is Stu Massengill, and I'm here every single week to bring you a passionate guest or message dedicated to helping you find your purpose so that you can live a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for hanging out with me, and let's dive in. What's up, my friend? Welcome back to another episode here on Finding Direction. This week, I am sitting down with Reg Malhotra, and a little bit about Reg. He is the CEO, founder, and lead trainer at NeuroMaster Academies, which provides personal growth seminars and certification trainings in neuro-linguistic programming, hypnosis, and related alternative applied psychology modalities. That's a mouthful. As someone who'd been through multiple adversities, been suicidal, and found himself living others' values, Reg was able to turn his life around using techniques of NLP and hypnosis. He realized the power of working with the subconscious mind and helping us move beyond our past, breaking our personal limitations, and stepping into our truth and becoming a master communicator. Reg has helped thousands of people from across the world, including those transitioning through major life events, coaches and healers, business owners, and CEOs and salespeople completely change their lives, and more importantly, some of the results that are showing up in their life. And Reg is also a loving husband, and he's a father of two teenage boys. And on this episode, a few things that we talk about is how to overcome the fear of success. This one is absolutely so powerful. We talk about what true freedom is, and also how to start uncovering some of your values to help you position yourself for the next direction and next step of your life. So you're going to get a lot from this one. If you have not yet, make sure you hit that subscribe button. And without further ado, here we go. Reg Malhotra, welcome to the podcast, man. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, good to see you, Stu. Nice to be here.
Absolutely. So as we dive into our conversation today, this is, you know, where we start with a lot of the conversations we have on this podcast, but I'd love it if you could fill us in your life in the aspect of, you know, you're growing up, you're starting to find your way into sort of the real world. And I'm curious, as you like take those first steps into your professional part of your life, what did that first, I guess, sort of professional chapter of your life look like? If you could fill us in there.
Sure, Stu. So for me, I'll admit a lot of my choices in the earlier stages were to do with what I thought I wanted to do, or what I thought others would like me to do, or what I thought is meant to be the right thing to do. And I think a lot of us get started that way. I wasn't that kid who knew exactly what he wanted, you know, who had a passion for something in particular. And I think a lot of people are in that boat. And so, you know, I went with the flow, so to speak, wherever I thought I could, you know, get something that makes me a living and gives me a chance to progress up the ladder would be good enough. And so it was very much that path, Stu, you know, looking for a job that meets what I know and what I've been educated in. And I ended up in the, you know, financial services industry.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. And was that you were like a financial advisor for people, or what did that role kind of look like?
Kind of, yeah. There was a bit of financial advisory aspects to it. And then there was also, you know, working with people's retirement savings, and kind of similar to a 401k type of situation. Yeah. But I did a lot of different roles, managerial roles, you know, client service type of roles. So it was a mixed, you know, it was mixed in terms of the descriptions of the roles, and that went on for quite a number of years.
Okay, got it. So from hearing your, I mean, we were talking a little bit before we even started recording, and just doing some of my research on you too, you have this energy when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, whether it's before we started recording or, you know, looking up some of your stuff online. You have this energy where when you're doing the thing you're supposed to be doing, you can feel it. Now, from hearing you talk about some of the financial stuff, it sounds like that was not, it wasn't like what you were meant to do. And I'm curious for you, How long did you kind of go down that path of your life before you had, I don't know, something in your head that said, hey, this isn't really what I'm supposed to be doing? And how did you kind of navigate through the next transition of your life?
Sure. I don't know if it's Shakespeare or one of these writers who said, your calling never really shouts at you. It only whispers. Right? So when I go back to that part of my career,
like that,
there were many instances, Stu, where I would hear things like, you know, people would say to me, I don't know what it is, Reg, but when I talk to you, I feel better about myself, or I experience change. And these would be people who would be reporting to me, you know, in my team. And I think, okay, well, you know, of course you're going to say that to the boss, right? But it would happen more often than not. People would want to be around me and they would experience change. And but you know, a lot of us are not conditioned to understand, recognize our own strengths. I'm going to say that emphatically. A lot of us are not conditioned, forget about knowing what we're good at, not even accepting it, in fact, deflecting it. Right? And so as I think about those years, there was a lot of things said to me that as I look back, had the seeds for what I was always going to end up doing, which was helping people experience change. Right? So, and I as I look back at those years, if I look at the different types of work that I did, inside any job or any career, there are certain things we like more and certain we don't. Would you agree?
Right. Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
There's certain part, and I enjoyed the parts where I had a group of people in front of me, and I would be teaching them a topic, or you know, helping whenever I was in front of them. And I look back, that was my favorite part, but that wasn't the predominant part of my work, right? So anyway, I went along my journey, and you know, in typical fashion, sort of went for the money. You know, what will get me more money is what I'll do. That was the thinking, right? And it got far enough where I was a dad very early. So there was also that aspect, like I've got to do the right thing. I got to make sure that, you know, everyone's comfortable and so forth. And I think that's quite natural. However, that led me down a dark hole at some point, because not only was I unstimulated, I was unhappy, unfulfilled. And I had, looking from the outside, most of the things that people would want, right? And, you know, and that went on for a couple of years too. Like I would feel it in my body. You know, you'd go into work and somewhere near, say, lunch hour, you'd get this sinking feeling. Again, I would talk myself. In fact, this is something we actually talk about in our training. It's called the universal model of change, where, you know, there are different positions you could be in your life. I refer to this position B, when some resistance comes in, some discomfort comes in, but you're not really sure. Things could be going fine, right? You're comfortable, everything is good. And the human design is so interesting. Part of the reason we're always exploring, we're always doing more, is because we are designed for change. We're designed to go to newer levels of thinking, newer levels of solving problems, newer neurological levels, as I call it today. And so I was going through this phase and I realized something wasn't right. And that's when the journey began to, you know, shift gears and try new things, different things that felt closer to who I am. And like I'll use this line that I said at the time, whatever allows me to spend more of my time using my gifts, or more of the time feeling lit up. It wasn't like 100% of the time. I said, how much of my day did I feel stimulated and alive and passionate? If that's more than 50, 60%, I'm thinking that's pretty good.
That's cool. And so for you, once, let's say the straw broke the camel's back, right? Something eventually happened where you go, okay, I can't do this anymore, right? Like I'm spending not enough time living in my strengths, right? Doing things that give me that pressure, that don't make me feel good. Was there a process that you started to go through to say, I'm going to find this next thing? Was there an opportunity that came your way you took advantage of? How did you, you know, if we kind of look at, you're in this place, eventually, you know, you get to this place where you find NLP, hypnotherapy, and a lot of the work you do today. How did you ultimately end up finding that?
Great question. Yeah. You know, I'd love to say that there is a step-by-step blueprint, but the reality is for most people, you know, it's quite haphazard and it can be very chaotic and it can be very dark actually. Right. And the great news is, you know, you almost have to go through that darkness to see the light. Now, for me, that darkness looked like looking for information. And I know a lot of people do that. In fact, it's a lot easier now. You know, you go down this, you can call it a rabbit hole, and many of us end up finding something to do with personal development, something to do, something we might hear, some book we might read. So I went down and started reading books, you know, about, initially started about, well, what does it mean to be financially free, right? And in finding out about that, I realized that it wasn't that I wanted financial freedom. It was that I wanted freedom to be me. Like, that's a huge thing to say. And I can tell you, until you accept that in you, until one accepts that in you, that I'm looking for freedom so I can be more of me, I can express more of that. So I went down that hole, started reading, started listening to lots of different things, started doing some courses around marketing, around being financially free, going to seminars. And I think there's something awesome to be said about that, because it's almost like a lot of people stay away from it, thinking that that's something strange or weird, not realizing that that's only steps. When you go in there, you'll hear something, excuse me, you'll see something, you'll feel something that might lead you in the next, you know, step. And I think that's the beauty of that process for me, Stu. I went down that, then I eventually said, you know what, I'm going to do something that allows me to, you know, I'm going to tell you this two-step formula someone told me. This is really great. Reg?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, this two-step formula, as simple as it sounds, This was the word said to me, Reg. Find something that lights you up. So it's almost like three steps, but I'm going to put it in two. The step one includes both the steps. Go searching until you find something that lights you up. Once you find it, step two, use it to help others. Now, that's very interesting. It sounds very simple. It could even sound cheesy. But the psychology part of that is so strong, so strong. When you find something, firstly, it lights you up, means you'll be able to do more of it, right? Because you're going to be hit with obstacles. Like, there's no question about it. You can be the guru of the world, or you can be, you know, doesn't matter. If you're not hitting obstacles, then my question is, what are you actually doing? Are you doing anything? Right? So you're going to hit obstacles. And this idea of being lit up, that it energizes you, it motivates you naturally, means that you'll have more energy to deal with the obstacles. So that's part of step one. It's okay to go searching. It is completely okay to go searching. The second part is if you can connect it so that someone else is also benefiting out of it, you're going to be more open to receiving the benefits. I don't know if you ever heard it this way. I'm sure you have. Yeah. You just psychologically, you're more able and willing to accept the rewards that come. Because again, most of us are conditioned to not accept the rewards. We are not open to receiving. I'm going to say this. I deal with thousands of people and I'm shocked at the amount of people, you know, they say they want this, they desire this, but then they are fearful of having the exact thing they want. Now you tell me, Stu, if you're scared of having what you want, will you have it? Will you have it?
No.
Absolutely not.
No way.
Because even if it turns up, you have this gorgeous way of rejecting it, sabotaging it, or getting rid of it. Right? So those were the two steps, Stu. I know I'm giving a long-winded way here, but I think it's important to understand the principles behind it.
Yeah.
And so I tried all that, and I ended up doing something, partnering with somebody. I got into marketing business, did all these things, but I realized that something was still missing. But I'm so glad I did those things because I was in them. And then I realized that, hey, yeah. I have a team now. I want to be a better leader. And that led me down even deeper into personal development, learning about the subconscious mind. And oh my God, little did I know how much I was carrying in terms of what I refer to as an energy cube. So if you think of units of energy that are available to create, a lot of my energy was I would say 70% of my energy was dedicated unconsciously to events from the past. And I had to clean that up.
Interesting.
And that led me down.
I mean, there's so much. There's so much you dove into here. And two things that I want to kind of point out and also explore is I love how you said you didn't, it's not that you wanted financial freedom, but you wanted the freedom to be more of who you are. And I think that's just so beautifully said, right? I think, I could be guilty, right? You're like, I want more. I want to make more income, have more financial freedom, whatever it is. But I think you nailed it on the head. It's that, well, why do we want more financial freedom? So that we can be more of who we are, right? And I think it's just so beautifully said. So I love the way you pointed that out. And another thing that I just would love to hear you unpack and sort of go into this maybe black hole that who knows where it'll take us, is you said you work with so many people that they say they have something they want to achieve, but at the same time, when you really start to explore it, they're fearful of actually achieving that thing. I think it's so true, but it's crazy, right? It's like you have something you want to achieve, but at the same time, you can be afraid of achieving that thing, and that's why you never achieve it. So I'm curious, from all the people you've worked with, from all the work that you do, how can somebody start to get themselves out of this, for lack of a better term, crap hole, right? Where it's like, you know what you want, but you're afraid of having it happen. Like, how does somebody start to untangle themselves from that place and actually not be fearful of the thing that they want to achieve?
How long have you got? No, I'll keep it. I'll keep it condensed.
I think one other thing to add in there. Is why do you think, and why have you seen that people are afraid as well of achieving that thing they want to achieve?
So, I'll repeat that again. And as you repointed it out, most people are scared of the very things they want. Now, what does scared mean? Right? Scared means, if I asked you to imagine having the exact thing you want, because it's very easy for people to say, I want to have millions of dollars, I want to live here, or I want to have freedom so that I can be working from anywhere, anytime, all these things that people desire, or I want to have that kind of partner. As you think of it, if you don't feel immediately energized congruently, means you feel it in your body, some kind of friction, that's the first sign that you're not congruent with what you want. And I'll come back to that in a moment. What does that actually mean, not being congruent with what you want? You're not aligned with what you want. You're saying you want it. It may sound good. It may look good. To an extent, it may even feel good initially, because that may be the idea of the thing to have. But your body never lies to you. Your body never lies. If there's nothing else people take from this chat today, two things. The thing you want, check in your body. As you imagine having it, as you go into your, if you imagine, create a picture of having it, step into your body, see what you would see, hear what you would hear, feel what you would feel having that thing. Where in your body do you feel a feeling? And is that feeling a positive feeling, or is that feeling of fear? Now, I'll qualify that by saying sometimes that fear and excitement are very similar feelings. So it could simply be excitement. But I've heard a lot of people say, Raj, when I think about it now, in the way you're telling me right now, like, I'm feeling petrified. Right. Now, why does that happen? Well, the number one thing that I found is because the thing you think you want is probably not from your value system. So we all have values, right? Our personal values and values in the context of career or relationships or whatever. And values are stored kinesthetically. It means they're actually stored in the nervous system in a hierarchy. What's the relevance of that? Well, what's important to you is a value, and you are naturally more motivated towards your values. That's the big point of value. Everyone talks about values. I'm not talking about those nice little values that are in companies on the wall, which no one really even follows. I'm talking about your personal values, right? You see, one of my top values is energy. Top values. So going back to your earlier point, Stu, what I was really missing in my life was not being able to live in high energy, energetic states naturally. Because I believe that everyone is drained of energy. I believe that people are lacking the kind of energy that makes this human phenomena, you know, a phenomena, something that is unmatchable with anything else, right? Is energy. And so it's a value to me. So what happens is I don't have to listen to a motivational talk to go and build my energy, to transfer energy to other people. Everything that I do in my life, Stu, it revolves around creating energy, transferring energy, or living in energy. Right? So people are not, if you said to me, Rich, I want to have a Ferrari. And I said, can you imagine having a Ferrari? And you said, yeah, I can. It does feel a little weird. Okay, well, when did you decide that you would like to have a Ferrari and why? So is it someone else's values? You're never going to shine in another person's values. So you ought to know your own true values. Mm-hmm. And there's a very specific way you can determine what your values are, because values are the most unconscious filters. They are stored at the subconscious level, right? So we ought to know what is truly important to us. And so that's where the untangling can begin. Other than that, I mean, there's a whole process to it of, you know, making sure that that fear that you're having is giving you the information you need. So you can either choose the right goals or make sure you resolve that fear so you can move congruently towards that goals. Because if you keep that fear in you while you're moving towards that, and I know I get the whole feel the fear and do it anyway thing, but this is not that, it's not the kind of fear that I'm talking about. Yeah. It's me, this is like, you're actually scared of having that thing. That's as far as I would go, Stu, in this little time.
Yeah. I love it. So I think one big piece there is, if you do have some of this internal fear that you feel in your body, right? Your body being a good compass for the truth, really, is the goal that you want in alignment with your values, or is it in alignment with somebody else's values, and starting to figure that out to get a little bit more clear? Okay,
that's
cool.
Right.
Now, let's say that we have our listener and they go, okay. And so let's say we have one of our listeners and they go, okay, Reg, I hear you. I've checked my values and it is in alignment with my values. Like, this is really something that I want, but I'm also still kind of afraid of the thing. What would be, I don't know, is there like a practice that they can, you know, apply to their life? Like, or what would be, I guess, maybe a client or someone that you've worked with that you've seen this happen with? And how did you start to help them sort of let go of some of that fear so that they could move forward faster?
Yeah. So, yeah, to that question, I would say you feel you're aligned, your goal is aligned with your values, and you know you want it. Well, the first practice is you're going to have to imagine having it, right, reasonably regularly. And what does that mean? No, it's not just visualizing. You must visualize with all available sensory phenomena. So stepping into that identity, or stepping into that image, into your own body, we call it associating. And so you have to imagine looking at it through your own eyes. So this is slightly different to seeing your body in the picture. That has a different purpose. But how long does it take you to step in your body? So if I wanted to imagine having a particular house, right, I have to step into my body as though I'm inside the house,
yeah.
Right? So I need to get a good visual. I need to, if there's any sounds that would be present, I would try and listen to those. Any feelings, I would start to feel them and get better at this. Because if your goal is aligned with your value, and if you're feeling, you're fearful of getting the exact thing you want, then first condition your nervous system to be okay with it, to believe that you can have it, because it provides you with more energy to move towards it. So that's a very simple, you can even taste and smell it. I mean, if you heard about Conor McGregor, you know, he, before he became a UFC champion, you know, he specifically pointed that out. He did a lot of this NLP style work, and, you know, he would visualize to the point that he would taste and smell victory, right? So you've got to make sure your nervous system is also coming along with you. That's one thing, and do it frequently enough. If you, and you got to make some notes. If you step into your body and you try to look at the picture and the picture is not clear and doesn't get clearer over time, then also you have an issue. Because think about this, Chu. Everything that you've ever had in your life, or your listeners have had, we all have, pretty much everything, we had a picture in our head first. Consciously or unconsciously.
Yeah.
You must have a picture. Now, how clear is the picture?
Mm.
What feelings does it give you when you have the picture? Right? So can you have a picture of what it is you want, and can you feel congruent then? So that's a practice I would do. The second thing is that why people could be fearful of actually having those big goals is because in general, big things come with responsibility. And when you think about it,
right,
I think that's something for people to explore. Will I be able to handle that? Am I willing to take that responsibility? You see, a lot of people stay small because of the fear of the responsibility. When in reality, until you get there, you don't have, right now looking from here, you do not have the internal resources, the coping mechanisms to solve those problems that will come with that responsibility. And so that keeps people scared of the response. Even having a big house, even having a big business, having, you know, most people fear leading people. Most people are petrified. I speak to so many business owners, and the number one problem most business owners tell me, small to medium, is people. Either can't find the right people. I think that's a limiting belief. It's a limiting idea. People are problematic. It's hard to get people motivated. People come with issues. Well, if you work on yourself, you will not have those problems. And some of your greatest growth lies when you help people, lead people, and help people achieve their goals, even in a career context. So we have all this fear of responsibility. And can I tell you, most people are actually scared of freedom. It's very easy to say, I want to be free. They don't get it though, because deeply, unconsciously, they're scared of freedom because a lot of people have not been conditioned to manage themselves, to discipline themselves, to contain themselves with self-control, to manage, to be free for 24 hours a day. It's a fact.
Yeah. Interesting. So one of the things then that I'm capturing here that you can do if this is something you want to achieve in your life, you still have some fear. One of the big things is conditioning your nervous system to visualize, to see yourself in that place, but as if you are actually there, not watching yourself in the house, placing yourself in the house, in the scenario that you want to create in your future, consistently over and over and over, use all of your senses, like Conor McGregor, use your smell, your taste, you can use your feeling, your, you know, everything, your sight, your, all of it.
Visual.
And that will help you get more associated with a positive feeling of this result that you want. And that can help to dissipate some of the fear while also understanding that, yes, there's going to be more responsibility. And that's something that you need to have a conversation with yourself about, as far as, are you willing to accept this responsibility or are you not? And if you look at those two things, you can move forward in a pretty beautiful way, it sounds like.
Well, there is a second part to this. And I think this is the part that a lot of people probably shy away from and don't go there, I suppose. Second part to this is in order to be able to move freely towards what it is you want, you also have to address what you're already carrying. I call these the hidden mental barriers. It's like driving a car with the handbrakes on. So here's where the second part comes in. If you're trying to visualize and you're still running into issues or you're not seeing it with the amount of clarity you want to see, and you still feel that in your body, and most importantly, you're not moving in that direction. You're not seeing yourself moving. Even if you're not feeling the fear, you're not moving. You're not seeing. The results are not coming through. Well, then we have another thing that we call, you know, is the hidden mental barriers. And these are I'm going to put it very simply. I'm not going to get all woo-woo about it, but I'm going to put it very simply here. How much of your energy, the internal energy that you create, is dedicated, is devoted to the past? Now, you may not grasp this consciously immediately, but we all have experienced significant emotional events, SEEs, we call them. These are not everyday events, like someone made you angry or sad. And they particularly relate to anger, sadness, fear, hurt, and guilt, some of the top, and shame, negative emotions. Now, something could have happened at the age of 5, at the age of 12, 15. We go through so many different things, and, you know, someone in your house could have gotten sick. It could be a phenomenon like that, which you don't think about it now. But if you can think about that event from the past and you feel something in your body, that's a very clear sign that there is energy devoted to that. You see, because to move towards your goals, you need energy, all of your life energy to create. So there's this other element that we find when people work through that. It's like all of that energy is now available towards what it is you want, plus you look clearly at your values. So that's the second part, is being able to disconnect the emotion from past significant emotional events, because they're all stored there at the unconscious level. In fact, they're stored in kind of like a subfolder. Yeah. They're all together, right? Hmm. If we can look at the events and not feel anything in our body, just look at it like a movie and not feel anything, we have just taken back our personal power, so to speak. I tremendously believe in that. I've worked with CEOs, you know, high level salespeople, you know, everyday people, and performance just changes because your energy is released. It's available. It's a very interesting concept I talk about, is energy cube. I'll make sure the team sends you a video of that. So I think that'll make more sense.
Love it. Yeah. And we can link that in the show notes as well, for anybody that wants to take a look at that. And so to, you know, change, the page a little bit, I guess, one of the things we were talking about, you know, before we started recording, is that you have two sons that are also in this phase of their life of figuring out their life, right? Finding direction. One of your sons, I believe you said, is, you know, 20 years old, and you've recently kind of seen him go through these stages of, what the heck do I want to do with my life? And so I'm curious, you know, being the master that you are in what you do, as you have conversations with your sons about them, you know, living a life of fulfillment, of passion, of excitement, where they have this energy that you're talking about, what are some of the guiding principles you share with your own kids to help them live a life that they truly enjoy?
Yeah, sure. So the first thing is, in general, having been a parent for nearly 20 years now and done a lot of my study and in the field that I'm in, children will generally do, generally speaking, there's always exceptions, will do what you do, not what you tell them to do, right? So they'll do more of what you do than what you tell them to do. There are stages at which they do what you tell them to do because they don't have a choice, right? But at some point, at the subconscious level, they are recording snapshots of how you are as a parent, because you're the ultimate authority. Now, for my sons in particular, they have seen their mom and dad live differently to others. They've seen us pursue what we want. They've seen us not look like we are trapped. They've seen us, you know, living the values and principles that we do and carve our own path.
Yeah.
So neurologically, that is already, you know, put in place something. And this became very obvious to
me. A huge step.
A huge thing. They'll do what they're seeing you. So they're seeing we don't live with you. They say, mom and dad go around the world and do trainings and, you know, live. And, you know, how many moms and dads are doing that, right? And that they run life on their own terms, and they work from wherever they want. And, you know, these things, it opens up the possibilities. Because you can tell a child, oh, you can go and do this, do that, do this, do that. But if they've seen it, and so close to home, of course it's going to have an impact. Right? Yeah. They're going to be like, yep, it's possible. Not only is it possible for them, that's probably at some level. I'm sure everyone else is doing that too. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, I saw evidence of that.
It's normal for them.
Yes, it's normal for them. I saw evidence of that in my older son. You know, he did the typical school thing, went through high school. And then because his friends were doing it, and I don't want to climb the mountain for my kids. Yes, we have.
Yeah.
You know, at some point I decided to be just the guide and the mentor, but I'm very open for them to go out and make mistakes and learn their lessons. I'm not going to steal that opportunity. Hell no. I'm not going to start doing all the inner, getting them to do all this inner work right now and not learn through life. So he goes around and does what his friends are doing, go gets jobs. And when he gets jobs, these usual jobs in retail or whatever I'll say, he started to moan and groan about it. And I said, what's up? And he said, well, I don't like working in fast food at all. I said, okay, well, he said, I'm going to give this another month and I'm not sure if I'll last here. Leaves it. He said, I want to do something that keeps me on my feet. I can have my AirPods on and I can, you know, I can be active because he's, you know, he likes working out. I said, all right. So he goes and gets a job where he does exactly that. He's on his feet. You know, he's kind of alone, doesn't have to serve any food. Then soon he gives that up. He said, no, not for me. Then he, you know, as a 17-year-old, he goes and works in one of the biggest video game arcade. Any kid's dream, right? At that point, like, oh, it was cool. It's all partying all the time. There's games. Then he leaves that. He left every single. And you know, at that point, I got a little bit concerned about the pattern that's showing up. But I was so proud of him because he said to me, Dad, just just let me be, because I'm not going to do something that is a drag all day. I cannot believe the thinking available at that age. I was very proud of that. I said, okay, this is good. And eventually he found his path, like to be a personal trainer and a counselor and things like that. But he is absolutely thriving, Stu. Thriving. But he almost had to. It's the same theory, right? In condensed here. At his very young age, he's already gone through the first level of finding out what he doesn't want to do so that he can land up towards what he does want to do. Because now, you know, the whole pain and pleasure thing, he knows the moving away from charge is very strong. I don't want that. I don't want that. That will fire you up to go and look for what you want. So there's no harm to your listeners if they've found themselves in situations where something they don't like. But rather than sit there for the rest of their lives, there's a great opportunity to make your notes, journal. These are the parts that I don't like, and make them, you must have your non-negotiables as you move to the next step. I hope that helps.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah, that's beautiful. And kudos to your son. It sounds like he's wise beyond his age, and he's found at least what he's supposed to be doing at this point of his life, which is truly, truly a beautiful thing. And so, Reg, I'm curious for you, man. You know, if we have some people on our show are going, man, I love Reg's energy and what he's about, what he teaches, and they want to hang out with you more. They want to see more about your world, what you do. Where's the best place for our listener to go to find you and to hang out with you a little bit more?
Sure. Just on the last point on my older son, I'll just add one more thing, which relates back to everything we've been talking about.
Yeah.
When he found something that felt more like him, he is so naturally motivated, Stu. Stu, this is a guy who would not get out of bed until 8 a.m. He's up at 5:30. He has clients sometimes at 6 a.m. And I'm like, where are you getting this motivation from? And of course, I should know better. There's a few little elements that are in place. Number one, he's naturally motivated towards it. So he doesn't have to put in a, like, you know, snooze the alarm and all these things. Because he's found that he's good at it, he's enjoying it, it's part of who he is, he gets to express, all those things are in place. Number two, he has a person who he reports to who keeps him accountable. He's got like a mentor. Mm. And I think that's been a fabulous part of this formula, because now he's not just doing it for himself, he wants to make this other guy proud.
Yeah.
Huge thing. Huge thing. Then they have a community. They have a community as well of people, right, who are like-minded and the same. So the community, mentor, and you know, finding your natural fit formula will never fail you. Doesn't matter who you are. Never. There are all these little pieces that keep us moving in that direction. To your last question, we can be found on on neuromastersacademy.com. That's a primary website. People can also follow me on Instagram. We do put a lot of content out there, little snippets, as you know, reels, and it's feedback I have is it's helping a lot of people.
Heck yeah.
Those are some of the ways. As an academy stew, what is the purpose of this is to help people in the three most important areas is being able to create resources, right? We must, in this physical reality, develop an ability to create resources, which looks like money, but it can be other things as well. Resourcefulness and resources. Number two is relationships. Relationships is critical, both intimate, personal, and being able to relate to people will take you further than anything else. And so a lot of our prior significant emotional events, our prior issues, come in the way of us creating truly powerful relationships. And three is having a level of mastery over our emotions. And to that end, as an academy, we
have a number of
courses, trainings, and programs, but ultimately I wanted to make sure you understand they're all connected to helping people in these three big areas, which is where I've seen the most misery, most pain, and most suffering, right? And so we have trainings around relationships, specifically on relationships, because not many people are doing it, and I thought that people need help in that. Of course, neuro-linguistic programming. Communication is critical, Stu. All problems are communication problems, and we must address that, must help address that in people, how you're communicating with yourself and others. And we have trainings in, you know, rewiring your thinking around money. So we've really designed everything around that. But NLP and hypnosis are very, very powerful to start the process of training your conscious mind, because the conscious mind is the instrument through which consciousness creates. We must train our conscious mind on how to think. People tell me they know how to think. Really? If you did not know that how you store a picture determines what meaning it holds for you, have you really figured out how to think? So let me repeat that again, neuromastersacademy.com. And that's the best place to find us initially.
Yeah. I love it. And so last question I have for you, a question we ask for all of our guests, because we want to help our listener find direction, but we believe in doing it through action, is what would you say is one thing our listener can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
To start finding direction in their life. Ask yourself this. In the context, so ask yourself, make sure you pick a context. I actually do it for two things. In the context of my life, what is important to me? Write them down, keywords or phrases, and keep writing until you stop. Okay, some people get, typically average people get between 7 and 15. Some people even get more, right? Could be health, could be, you know, surfing, I don't know. Just put it all down. Then have a look at that list and ask yourself, what are the top six? Go through that process. Get the top six in front of you. Be very, very clear, those are the top six. And then work on those top six until you can see, identify the top three. Because I can tell you 80% of your life energy is going to go towards the top three, whether you like it or not, whether you're conscious of it or not. I would do that in the context of life.
Beautiful.
And then I would do that, because you talk about finding direction. If you mean particularly in the sense of career, it sounds more like that, then also ask yourself what's important to me in the context of my career, and do the same thing. List them all down, get this six. And remember this, if you're doing any work or if you're doing any business and you are not having the opportunity to live at least the top 3 to 4 values a lot of the time, you know, that's the seeds for conflict, misalignment, and unsustainability. Does that help, Stu?
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think everybody can do that in the next 24 hours easily. So, Reg, I want to say thank you again so much for coming on today and sharing your life and your wisdom and your experiences. It's been a joy to hang out with you, and I'm sure, you know, we'll see lots more of you. So, Reg, thank you again for being here with us today.
It's been great. Thanks, Stu.
Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. Make sure you give yourself a pat on the back, a round of applause, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul, and that is absolutely something worth celebrating. I want to say thank you, as always, for joining me on the podcast. If you got value, make sure that you send this to someone who you know is maybe having a little bit of that struggle when it comes to the fear of success, and I promise you, they're going to reply back to you saying thank you for sharing that episode with me. So other than that, my friend, have a wonderful, beautiful, outstanding rest of your day. And if you don't feel like you want to go anywhere, don't feel like you need to, I have another episode coming up right after this, and you are more than welcome to hang around for that. All right, my friend, I'll talk to you soon. Take care.